what is your musical background?
My musical background is diverse and eclectic. I started as a kid with piano and then went to trumpet from when I was 5, and then wanted to become a one-man band. And so at 12, I became very enamored with synthesizers and recording equipment. And back when I was a kid, what I did is I would buy 2 cassette decks and get a little mixer from Radio Shack.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my first synthesizer, which I still have to this day, which is a Sequential Circuits Pro 1 monophonic synthesizer. And I would record something on one tape deck and then have the other tape deck record what I just recorded and add something to it while it's going down. So that was my early multi-tracking experiences. And then I started getting into computers, like with a Commodore 64 and then mm-hmm. a Mac Plus, and so I've been using computers to write music most of my life, actually. So really when I was like 13, 14 is when I started using computers. Maybe 16 for my music.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would play in, I was kind of schizophrenic. I gave myself a classical education. I went to high school and then Manhattan School of Music, where I went to high school, a Crossroads School in Santa Monica in California, where it has a good music pro department. And then I went to Manhattan School of Music. But all the while, I was also in this Afro-Cuban, funk band playing keyboards. And they never really, both these musics, I didn't understand. Well, why? What am I doing? I'm giving myself this classical education. I love classical music, and I also love contemporary music, but they don't really occupy the same musical world. I thought, well, maybe someday they will. And I'd always loved film, and when I ran into an old high school buddy who was going to SC graduate school for film,
mm-hmm.
he said, score my student films. I said, yeah, that would be fun. I'd love to. And I'd thought about it. And when I started doing his student films, I realized that's kind of where all my passions came together, that was the common ground for being able to use a lot of my pop music influences as well as my classical and my orchestral side, plus my love of film and storytelling. So while I'm not a filmmaker, I get to kind of be a storyteller with scoring films. And so it was when I started doing that when I realized, oh, okay, I can do this. This is where all my loves come together, and so that's what I've been doing.
Mm-hmm. So now, what is the first thing you do when you begin to write a score?
The first thing I do is collaborate with the director, the filmmaker, to understand what world this film lives in, what sonic world, what are the parameters with which I'm working in. Every job is different. I get to explore a different side of myself musically with every film. Really understand the director and the director's sensibilities and say, okay, where do I have freedom to move in this film? One thing I would wonder as I start doing this is film scoring an art? Is it an art form? And so the answer for some people is, yes, John Williams and definitely Jerry Goldsmith, are artists. Jerry with all of the experimentation, he had a lot of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it was freedom. If I have freedom, I guess then it can be an art. If I don't have freedom, I'm really just a really fine craftsman. I'm a cabinet maker of a really high level. They know. So when I sit down, I just look at what do I get to go with this film? What language am I working in? And try and whatever that world is. Is execute that to the best of my abilities, to the highest skill I can.
I'm curious about your experimentation and how often that happens for you. Are you able to experiment with the various films beforehand, or are you just kind of thrown into the baptism by fire, essentially?
Both, definitely both. I gave myself this classical education. I went to Manhattan School of Music, and then mm-hmm. I took a few classes at SC. I never quite finished school because I got my first scoring gig when I was 25, and I quit school, and I haven't gone back since. So I'm about 13 units shy. But, I always felt like a little bit ruined by giving myself this classical training, because I would look at people. Brian Eno was a big influence on me as a young teenager. And here's a guy who has no musical training, and he creates this, beautiful, incredible music.
Mm-hmm.
But I consciously said, okay, I'm going to give myself a classical education. And in going to conservatory, you learn all the rules, and it's really hard to then break from them because they're so in you. So with film with films, I consciously didn't give myself an education. I didn't go to. I went to USC. I audited a few classes, technical classes at the film scoring program at SC, but I didn't go through the program because I didn't want to learn how to do it the right way. And I was very lucky in my, you know, with the student films that I did and some of these some of the independent films that I did early in my career, where I really got to. I had freedom to experiment and make mistakes and do things wrong and struggle with films, you know, working in languages that might not always be traditional Hollywood language. So I got to approach films from a different way. So that's one thing I really appreciate about, you know, where I am now, is that I can do both, and I'm not scared of trying something different, because I know most of the time when I go into the unknown, that beautiful things and wonderful things happen from that.
Mm-hmm. And do you mock up your scores first?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we are in the age of mocking up scores. Very few composers can get away with playing themes on a piano for the director, and you know, having the directors, you know, have their using their imaginations to know what it's all going to sound like and that it's going to work. We are in the age of mock-ups. The better the mock-up, the more excited everybody gets, and that's the reality of where we're at.
Right. Now, do you compose using the score page or computer?
I compose using the computer. One of the last films I did, The Tenacious D and The Pick of Destiny, there was one cue in particular that was just needed to be very classical sounding. You know, it was with choir and orchestra, and it was a very dynamic cue, a lot of crescendos, but it's under a whole dialogue. It was basically one giant dialogue section of the film, and I said, you know, I really want to do this on paper. So I got my paper. I got the same paper that John Williams uses, which I think is six staves, which he does all his writing on.
Mm-hmm.
And I timed everything out, and I got my themes, and I sketched it out. But then I had to work quickly, and when I have to work quickly, I don't work as quickly with paper and pencil. So I went right back to the computer, threw my ideas that I had in there, and then just did it on the computer. And I'm getting better at it. It's a very different process, writing in front of a keyboard in the computer opposed to pencil and paper on a grand piano. And if I had a grand piano, maybe I'd do that more. I miss that. It's what I did when I was in conservatory, you know, just being in a practice room with a piano, and or not in front of a piano, just writing in my room and then going to the piano and checking it. It's a very different process, and I'm open to doing that again in the future.
Right. So now, you mentioned Tenacious D, but yep. I actually first became aware of your work for the film Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag.
My goodness.
It was a fantastic score, and I'm just curious as to how you first became involved with that film.
That film was being done at a production company called Motion Picture Corporation of America. The guys who ran the company, one of the producers, Brad Crevoy, was producing Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag, and Steve Stabler. Brad Crevoy and Steve Stabler were partners. They were they were really pleased with my work on what I had done. I'd done Biodome for them before,
right.
And then I did Overnight Delivery with Reese Witherspoon for New Line, but they were also producers on it as well. And then they were doing Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag, and Brad mentioned me to the director, and Tom Schulman, and so Tom met me, and I submitted a demo, and one of the pieces of my demo they really liked. And I got a meeting, and we really hit it off well in the meeting, and I'd watched the movie, and I came in to the meeting with a real clear idea of how I wanted to score the film, and he really liked my ideas, and I got hired, and it was a really, really fun experience.
Mm-hmm. All right, now you've mentioned demos. Let's say if you were to submit it, when you submitted the demo back then, and you submit a demo today, what's the difference?
Are you talking about like 10 years ago?
Yeah, I'm talking like when you submitted for Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag, you probably submitted it on tape.
Yeah, I was going to say, I submitted it on a cassette, and I'm happy to say that cassettes are just about a thing of the past. I'm almost done backing up all my work that is still on cassette from when I was a teenager. I'm into keeping my stuff. I don't want to just die, even though it's like embarrassing and I don't like it. I like the idea of having a preserved digitally, at least, so I can embarrass, you know, I don't know, show my kids or something. So cassette, as far as the difference, I know for me, I didn't have that much music back then. I have a lot more to pull from now. When I make a demo, I use iTunes, and one thing that's wonderful about iTunes, and here's like a commercial for it, is that you can put a lot of descriptive words in the comment section of the info page on an MP3. And so then you can go ahead. So I've had all of my music basically labeled, but like in a real complex way. So a piece of score, I put the genre, romantic comedy, orchestral, if there's like acoustic guitar, if there's an emotional quality to it, sad, melancholy, action, you know, I can have all this stuff. And then I can, when it comes down to making a demo for a film now, I can just type in some search words for in my playlist of all of my film scores, and all up comes, you know, 100 cues, and then I'll boil it down to 10. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So in the past, I'd have to go through, like, every one of my scores and, like, kind of look at every cue. Is this appropriate for this film? Is this appropriate for this film? And now it's a lot quicker because I've been able to encode all of my cues with search words that'll pop up.